CliffCentral.com.
All right, we've got to get to offshore money, Mubs. It is time for us to find out what we can do to manage our money better, to get it offshore and to keep it safe and secure. Offshore Money is brought to you by St. James Global. They've been helping South African tax residents for over 20 years, in fact, over 25 years, with the structuring, management, and administration of assets held offshore. Very specialized area of expertise. You can't just jump in here without knowing. In other words, Mubs, you could have R1 million to invest. Mm-hmm. And if you tried to do it all on your own, you would screw it up.
This is true.
You need to do it right. They have offices in Cape Town and Johannesburg. That's St. James Global. You can find out more by going to stjamesglobal.com. And we've got something special happening with them, which is a weekly thing, recently launched. We've called it Offshore Money. We've done this because we need to educate and change South African offshore investors so that they comply with international tax legislation and help you to be more aware of what you can do to protect yourself and your future heirs against all the changes that have been taking place in international law. So we've brought someone in this morning who's Rex Cowley. He's the co-founder of a company called Overseas Trust and Pension. They're based in Guernsey in the Channel Islands. And that's Overseas Trust and Pension, OTAP, O-T-A-P. They're fiduciary specialists with extensive experience in structuring offshore wealth for international investors and many countries abroad. And on the line, we have Rex. Rex, good morning. How are you?
Yes, I'm very good. Thanks, Cliff. And yourself?
Good. Excellent. Now, Rex, I need you to help me because we've got to take baby steps here. For many of us, the whole world of offshore investing is a very complex world. But I wanted to know from your point of view, preserving offshore wealth and retirement for South African residents. Tell us about the use of international retirement structures, the role of providing a holistic solution for South African resident clients when it comes to putting their money into these things.
Absolutely. I think the first point to make on this, Cliff, is if you look at the average South African, the average South African has only about 6% of their actual wealth exposed to international assets. Mm-hmm. And when you put that into context, your American peer, your European, your Brit, they'll typically have 35 to 45% exposed to non-domestic wealth. In other words, if I'm an Englishman, I'll invest 35 to 45% of my wealth in America, in Europe, in Japan, and generally most developed countries, people think globally about their wealth. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is, you know, we are a global village; we are all part of the same place. But currency and domestic issues do impact significantly on your wealth. So if you're in a country where your currency is incredibly strong, you're going to be wealthier than the country next door. And in South Africa, we've obviously seen an ongoing deterioration of the rand. You know, since the 80s, I started out my career in 1990, and then I could buy a pound for about R3.75. Obviously, we know the pound's trading at 21.50 odd at the moment. So a long-term significant depreciation in terms of the value of the rand, and in actual fact, wealth. And another interesting statistic that came out recently was South Africa has the quickest number of falling millionaires in any country in the world. So people in South Africa are becoming poorer simply because they are not investing internationally. And the reason for this has been exchange control. But that reason has gone. You know, you can put 10 million rand abroad now per year. So for most people, exchange control regulation actually has gone. So there's no excuse not to diversify your wealth. And let's face it, South Africa is an emerging market. If you look at emerging markets in terms of risk, they are high risk. They're not called nice markets or pretty markets. They're emerging because they are very volatile and they carry significant risk. Developed markets are far more stable. So I think that's some of the context. So the question is, you know, to come back to your question, what do I do when I put money offshore? Well, you have some choices, and you either hold it in your own name, which is fraught with issues, or you put it into a structure specifically to meet a requirement. And for a lot of people, the use of offshore wealth is specific to build wealth, mm-hmm. which can be used to provide for retirement. And it's very, very similar to utilizing your domestic RA or domestic pension plan.
All right. Now, this is important on two fronts. I mean, you've very clearly and very eloquently put the case for why we should be putting some of our money overseas and we should have some exposure offshore. And you've also explained why it's important to have retirement planning and what those vehicles might need to be like. But let's look at why international, because a lot of people, are you all right?
Yes, I am.
Just heard something happen in the background. Rex, what was that? Is someone else okay? Is did the cat die? I mean, is everything all right in the background there?
The cat didn't die, it just slipped. an inch to the left and it would have been dead.
That cat is drunk. Rex, international retirement plans are best considered for offshore asset protection, right? I mean,
correct.
You've got things that people are concerned about. For example, you could be the most smart investor in the world. You could create some kind of a trust or some kind of offshore retirement plan, and then something happens between when you die and your heirs inherit, and they end up getting nothing out of it. It has happened before because people don't know the rules. So how should we plan for that? Access to hard currency, the true international non-rand investments. Tell us about that.
I think, Cliff, there's two sides to the investment story. The one is the sexy bit, which is investment returns. That's what we all focus on. Has my money gone up or down today? Mm-hmm. Investing is for the long term, so while today does matter, it's the long term that's important. However, the other side to that are the big factors that can erode wealth or have a massive impact on your wealth. You know, so for example, you're an entrepreneur, you're in business, in your life you sign a guarantee for something, something happens in your business, you get sued, you get challenged, your estate gets challenged, that can hit you personally. And you can lose a significant amount of wealth. By using retirement planning vehicles, you get full asset protection. So it doesn't matter what happens in your day-to-day life. Those assets are protected from creditors or any other claim that might come your way. So for entrepreneurs to utilize international retirement vehicles alongside their domestic plans, it's a very good way of protecting wealth. Mm-hmm. And obviously with a retirement structure, they're tax efficient. You get the tax-free roll-up inside your investments, same as you get with your local schemes. So the capital gains and income that accrues within that plan is not taxed whilst it remains in the plan. So for a lot of South Africans, we know we see the JSE going up year on year, not necessarily in hard currency terms, but there's a lot of gains. You look at a lot of domestic portfolios, people don't want to sell a specific stock because they're going to have to pay CGT. It's ridiculous. You should be happy that you're paying CGT because it means you have made a gain. But you can take that whole argument away by utilizing retirement vehicles. So you can still have an actively managed portfolio within an international structure and benefit from the roll-up. So you've got your asset protection on your one hand and you've got your tax-efficient environment, which reduces cost on your investment, which is critical. And then the other bit that's really important is, you know, what do we want those assets to ultimately do? It's not really about the investment return. It's about enabling us financially to undertake certain things or to achieve certain things. That could be independence in retirement. It could be getting the kids financially independent. It could be ensuring that your spouse is looked after when you pass away, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So again, that sort of creating that environment for succession, allowing succession planning to happen without it going through your estate, without having to go through probate, without the need for a will, etc., is a very valuable tool because it doesn't just save you money in terms of executive fees and the cost of probate. It saves you time. So your retirement plans, like with your life policies and your endowments that you're used to domestically, they pay out incredibly quickly. Typically within 7 days on receipt of a death certificate, the people that you are concerned about on your passing are looked after. Again, these are the other sides to the sort of the asset protection and preservation sort of story.
There's a lot of talk at the moment, and Pravin Gordhan mentioned this in his budget, offshore trusts being taxed on income, capital gains and death. Now, would you consider retirement trusts as a more suitable alternative to the thousands of offshore discretionary trusts that are coming under attack by SARS?
I think it's absolutely is the short answer. And, you know, we're waiting for the Davis Tax Commission's estate duty paper to be finalized. You know, we've had the consultation and the outcome from that. And I think that the short of it is, whether you're in a domestic trust or you're in a foreign trust, the objective is that you don't set these structures up for tax purposes. You set them up for asset protection purposes, or succession purposes, which aren't tax related. And I think that, you know, the government's getting there. And the reality is we've had Section 25B and Section 7A in the Income Tax Act for a long time. So in reality, an offshore trust and a domestic trust are pretty much taxed on a very even footing. But the new anti-avoidance legislation, which will no doubt come into play, will ensure that some of the quirks around domestic trusts and offshore trusts, particularly where a loan has been used to make a distribution to a beneficiary, you know, that will become taxable. That will form part of the estate of the person that receives it. Again, just taking away some of the flexibility that the discretionary trusts had. Retirement planning, on the other hand, is the government's encourage us to plan for retirement. You know, in fact, if you look at Section 10 of our Income Tax Act, if you're a foreigner and you live in South Africa and you draw your pension from overseas, you're exempt from tax here. You know, that's why we have so many expats living here. I'd love to say it is the weather and the wine. Not just that, they can come here and they can live in a tax-free existence. You know, they're not absolutely tax-free. Yes, they contribute hugely to our economy. They employ people in the informal markets, and they're big spenders, which is fantastic for the economy. But there's an incentive for them. Yeah. So governments around the world generally look at retirement planning as the wise thing to do. And you know, that there's more of a focus on it these days, because in the good old days, you know, my father, he worked for a bank all his life. He had a defined pension benefit pension when he went on retirement. And it didn't matter what the markets did. His pension went up every year. You know, it was fantastic. Those days have gone. Everything's gone to defined contribution. In other words, instead of the company you're working for taking the market risk and taking the risk of funding those schemes, you take it on yourself. So people rarely in today's world are absolutely responsible for themselves in terms of retirement. And that goes for, you know, for the majority of your sort of medium, sort of mid-wealth upwards. Yes, people that are in the lower income brackets will get support from the government. But if you look at social security systems, whether it's South Africa, the UK, the US, you're not going to be made wealthy by being on a government pension. Let's put it that way. So it really is about funding for retirement, and that is seen as a prudent thing to do. One word of caution.
Yes.
We saw this in the budget in the retirement reforms, where people overfund for retirement. And the whole idea is that I'm going to put everything I have, including the kitchen sink, into a pension scheme because pension schemes actually are tax efficient. That kind of sort of reckless behavior, if I'd call it, which is, you know, it's not in the spirit of the game. That kind of behavior will no doubt draw the attention of the revenue services. And we could probably see people having anti-avoidance legislation invoked against them. So whatever you do in life, do it sensibly. Make sure that, you know, the amount of funds you put into retirement plans is appropriate for your needs. And that's where your financial advisor comes in. Looking at long-term cash flow forecasts, you're looking at your lifestyle requirements, looking at life expectancy. You know, today we're living to 80, 85, 87 as a standard. Back in the 1960s, you typically worked around about 67, 68, and you die at 73. You only had to plan for 5 years of life.
Right.
You know, now you're retiring at 60 and you're living to 85, 87, 27, nearly 30 years of funding required. So the game's changed, and governments understand that they don't want to be forking out the funds. So retirement vehicles are seen as a good thing to use. But again, like everything in life, don't abuse them.
Yeah, this is fascinating stuff. And I mean, this kind of advice is exactly what I think a lot of people are looking for, because it's very hard to get this sort of advice. And also, you're never sure whether the people you're talking to are the right people. In this case, Rex, thank you very, very much. It's a pleasure to have this advice. And thank you for joining us this morning.
Pleasure, Cliff.
And we'll probably talk to Rex again sometime in the future. But you can always get this specialist expertise available through St. James Global, an independent offshore advisory group. You can find out all about them. They have access to professionals like Rex Carley, both in South Africa and abroad. And for more info, you can get them on stjamesglobal.com. That's stjamesglobal.com. That's stjamesglobal.com, one word. Go and take a look at that. Thank you very much to Rex Carley, and thank you to St. James Global. There's a bit of useful information for you if you are looking to put some of your money overseas, and perhaps also if you have to start, and there's never, ever a stage where it's too early to start planning for retirement and for saving. Very, very good advice all around.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.